The Master's Indwelling, Andrew Murray, Chapter 7, Christ's Humility, Our Salvation. Philippians 2:5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All are familiar with this wonderful passage. Paul is speaking about one of the most simple, practical things in daily life, humility. And in connection with that, he gives us a wonderful exhibition of divine truth. In this chapter, we have the eternal Godhead of Jesus. He was in the form of God and one with God. We have his incarnation. He came down and was found in the likeness of men. We have his death with the atonement. He became obedient unto death. We have his exaltation. God hath highly exalted him. We have the glory of his kingdom, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess him. And in what connection? Is it a theological study? No. Is it a description of what Christ is? No. It is in connection with the simple, downright call to a life of humility in our intercourse with each other. Our life on earth is linked to all the eternal glory of the Godhead as revealed in the exaltation of Jesus. The very looking to Jesus, the very bowing of the knee to Jesus, ought to be inseparably connected with the spirit of the very deepest humility. Consider the humility of Jesus. First of all, that humility is our salvation. Then, that humility is just the salvation we need. And again, that humility is the salvation which the Holy Spirit will give us. Humility is the salvation that Christ brings. That is our first thought. We often have very vague, I might also say visionary, ideas of what Christ is. We love the person of Christ, but that which makes up Christ, which actually constitutes him the Christ, that we do not know or love. If we love Christ above everything, we must love humility above everything, for humility is the very essence of his life and glory, and the salvation he brings. Just think of it. Where did it begin? Is there humility in heaven? You know there is, for they cast their crowns before the throne of God and the Lamb. But is there humility on the throne of God? Yes. What was it but heavenly humility that made Jesus on the throne willing to say, I will go down to be a servant and to die for man. I will go and live as the meek and lowly Lamb of God. Jesus brought humility from heaven to us. It was humility that brought him to earth, or he never would have come. In accordance with this, just as Christ became a man in this divine humility, so his whole life was marked by it. He might have chosen another form in which to appear. He might have come in the form of a king. But he chose the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. He chose the form of a servant. He said, The Son of Man is not come to be ministered to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And you know, in the last night he took the place of a slave and girded himself with a towel and went to wash the feet of Peter and the other disciples. Beloved, the life of Jesus upon earth was a life of the deepest humility. It was this gave his life its worth and beauty in God's sight. And then his death. Possibly you haven't thought of it much in this connection, but his death was an exhibition of unparalleled humility. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My Lord Christ took a low place all the time of his walk upon earth. He took a very low place when he began to wash the disciples' feet. But when he went to Calvary, he took the lowest place there was to be found in the universe of God, the very lowest, and he let sin and the curse of sin and the wrath of God cover him. He took the place of a guilty sinner that he might bear our load. That he might serve us in saving us from our wretchedness, that he might by his precious blood win deliverance for us, that he might by that blood wash us from our stain and our guilt. We are in danger of thinking about Christ as God, as man, as the atonement, as the Savior, and as exalted upon the throne, and we form an image of Christ, while the real Christ, that which is the very heart of his character, remains unknown. What is the real Christ? Divine humility, bowed down into the very depths of our salvation. The humility of Jesus is our salvation. We read, He humbled himself, therefore God hath highly exalted him. The secret of his exaltation to the throne is this: He humbled himself before God and man. Humility is the Christ of God. And now in heaven, today, that Christ, the man of humility, is on the throne of God. What do I see? A lamb standing, as it had been slain, on the throne. In the glory, he is still the meek and gentle Lamb of God. His humility is the badge he wears there. You often use that name, the Lamb of God, and you use it in connection with the blood of the sacrifice. You sing the praise of the Lamb, and you put your trust in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God for the blood. You never can trust that too much. But I am afraid you forgot that the word Lamb must mean to us two things. It must mean not only a sacrifice, the shedding of blood, but it must mean to us the meekness of God, incarnate upon earth, the meekness of God, represented in the meekness and gentleness of a little lamb. But the salvation that Christ brought is not only a salvation that flows out of humility, it also leads to humility. We must understand that this is not only the salvation which Christ brought, but that it is exactly the salvation which you and I need. What is the cause of all the wretchedness of man? Primarily, pride. Man seeking his own will and his own glory. Yes, pride is the root of every sin. And so the Lamb of God comes to us in our pride and brings us salvation from it. We need, above everything, to be saved from our pride and our self-will. It is good to be saved from the sins of stealing, murdering, and every other evil. But a man needs, above all, to be saved from what is the root of all sin, his self-will and his pride. It is not until man begins to feel that this is exactly the salvation he needs that he really can understand what Christ is and that he can accept him as his salvation. This is the salvation that we as Christians and believers specially need. We know the sad story of Peter and John, what their self-will and pride brought upon them. They needed to be saved from nothing except themselves, and that is the lesson which we must learn if we are to enter the life of rest. And how can we enter that life and dwell there in the bosom of the Lamb of God if pride rules? Have we not often heard complaints of how much there is of pride in the Church of Christ? What is the cause of all the division and strife and envying that is often found even among God's saints? Why is it that often in a family there is bitterness? It may be only for half an hour or half a day, but what is the cause of hard judgments and hasty words? What is the cause of estrangement between friends? What is the cause of evil speaking? What is the cause of selfishness and indifference to the feelings of others? Simply this, the pride of man. He lifts himself up and he claims the right to have his opinions and judgments as he pleases. The salvation we need is indeed humility, because it is only through humility that we can be restored to our right relation to God. Waiting upon God, that is the only true expression for the real relation of the creature to God, to be nothing before God. What is the essential idea of a creature made by God? It is this: to be a vessel in which he can pour out his fullness, in which he can exhibit his life, his goodness, his power, and his love. A vessel must be empty if it is to be filled. And if we are to be filled with the life of God, we must be utterly empty of self. This is the glory of God, that he is to fill all things, and more especially his redeemed people. And as this is the glory of the creature, so this is the only redemption, and the only glory of every redeemed soul, to be empty and as nothing before God, to wait upon Him, and to let God be all in all. Humility has a prominent place in almost every epistle of the New Testament. Paul says, "Walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." The nearer you get to God and the fuller of God, the lowlier you will be, and equally before God and man, you will love to bow very low. We know Peter's early self-confidence, but in his epistles, what a different language he speaks. He wrote there, "Let the younger be subject to the elder, and all of you be subject one to another. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in his own time." He understood, and he dared to preach humility to all. It is indeed the salvation we need. What is it that prevents people from coming to that entire surrender that we speak of? Simply that they dare not abandon themselves and trust themselves to God, that they are not willing to be nothing, to give up their wishes and their will and their honor to Christ. Shall we not accept the salvation that Jesus offers? He gave up his own will. He gave up his own power. He gave up any confidence in himself. He lived dependent upon God as a servant whom the Father had sent. There is the salvation we need, the spirit of humility that was in Christ. What is it that often disturbs our hearts and our peace? It is pride seeking to be something. And God's decree is irreversible. God resists the proud. He gives grace only to the humble. How often Jesus had to speak to his disciples about it. You will find repeatedly in the gospel those simple words, "He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be humbled." He taught his disciples, "He that would be chiefest among you, let him be the servant of all." This should be our one cry before God. Let the power of the Holy Ghost come upon me with the humility of Jesus, that I may take the place that he took. Brother, do you want a better place than Jesus had? Are you seeking a higher place than Jesus? Or will you say, "Down, down as deep as ever I can go. By the help of God, I will be nothing before God. I will be where Jesus was." And now comes the third thought. This is the salvation the Holy Ghost brings. You know what a change took place in those disciples. Let us praise God for it. The Holy Spirit means this: the life, the disposition, the temper, and the inclinations of Jesus brought down from heaven into our hearts. That is the Holy Ghost. He has his mighty workings to bestow as gifts. But the fullness of the Holy Ghost is this: Jesus Christ in his humility coming to dwell in us. When Christ was teaching his disciples, all his instructions may have helped in the way of preparation, breaking them down and making them conscious of what was wrong and awakening desire. But the instruction could not do it, and all their love to Jesus and their desire to please him could not do it until the Holy Ghost came. This is the promise Christ gave. He says, in connection with the coming of the Holy Ghost, "I will come again to you." Christ said to his disciples, "I have been 3 years with you, and you have been in the closest contact with me, and I have done the utmost to reach your hearts. I have sought to get into your hearts, yet I have failed. But fear not, I will come again. In that day ye shall see me, and your hearts shall rejoice, and no man shall take your joy from you. I will come again to dwell in you, and live my life in you." Christ went to heaven that he might get a power which he never had before. And what was that? The power of living in men. God be praised for this. It was because Jesus, the humble one, the Lamb of God, the meek, the lowly, and gentle one, came down in the Holy Spirit into the hearts of his disciples that the pride was expelled, and that the very breath of heaven breathed through him in the love that made them one heart and one soul. Dear friends, Christ is yours. Christ, as he comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, is yours. Are you longing to have him, to have the perfect Christ Jesus? Come, then, and see how, amid the glories of his Godhead, his having been in the form of God and equal to God, amid the glories of his incarnation, his having become a man, amid the glories of his atonement, his having been obedient to death, and amid the glories of his exaltation, which is the chief and brightest glory, he humbled himself from heaven down to earth, and on earth down to the cross. He humbled himself to bear the name, and show the meekness, and die the death of the Lamb of God. And what is it we now need to do? How are we to be saved by this humility of Jesus? It is a solemn question, but, thank God, the answer can be given. First, we must desire it above everything. Let us learn to pray God to deliver us from every vestige of pride, for this is a cursed thing. Let us learn to set aside, for a time, other things in the Christian life, and begin to plead with the Lamb of God day by day. O Lamb of God, I know thy love, but I know so little of thy meekness. Come day after day and lay your heart against his heart, and say to him with strong desire, Jesus, Lamb of God, give, O give me thyself with thy meekness and humility, and he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. It is not enough to desire it and to pray for it. Claim and accept it as yours. This humility is given you in Christ Jesus. Christ is our life. What does that mean? Oh, that God might give you and me a vision of what that means. The air is our life, and the air is everywhere, universal. We breathe without difficulty because God surrounds us with the air. And is the air nearer to me than Christ is? The sun gives light to every green leaf and every blade of grass, shining hour by hour and moment by moment. And is the sun nearer to the blade of grass than Christ is to man's soul? Verily, no. Christ is around us on every side. Christ is pressing on us to enter, and there is nothing in heaven or hell or earth that can keep the light of Christ from shining into the heart that is empty and open. If the windows of your room are closed with shutters, the light could not enter. It would be on the outside of the building, streaming and streaming against the shutters, but it could not enter. But leave the windows without shutters, and the light comes. It rejoices to come in and fill the room. Even so, children of God, Jesus and his light, Jesus and his humility are around you on every side, longing to enter into your hearts. Come and take him today in his blessed meekness and gentleness. Do not be afraid of him. He is the Lamb of God. He is so patient with you. He is so kindly towards you. He is so tender and loving. Take courage today and trust Jesus to come into your heart and take possession of it. And when he has taken possession, there will be a life day by day of blessed fellowship with him, and you will feel a necessity ever deeper for your quiet time with him, and for worshiping and adoring him, and for just sinking down before him in helplessness and humility and saying, Jesus, I am nothing, and thou art all. It will be a blessed life, because you will be conscious of being at the feet of Jesus. At this moment, you can claim Jesus in his divine humility as the life of your soul. Will you? Will you not open your heart and say, come in, come in. Come today and take him up afresh in this blessed power of his wonderful humility, and say to him, O thou who didst say, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. My Lord, I know why it is that I have not the perfect life. It is my pride. But today come thou and dwell in my heart. Thou who did lead even Peter and John into the blessedness of thy heavenly humility, thou wilt not refuse me. Lord, here I am. Do thou, who by thy wonderful humility alone can save, come in. O Lamb of God, I believe in thee. Take possession of my heart and dwell in me. When you have said that, go out in quiet and retire, walking gently as holding the Lamb of God in your heart, and say, I have received the Lamb of God. He makes my heart his care. He breathes his humility and dependence on God in me, and so brings me to God. His humility is my life and salvation.